This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Need more proof that cutting the budget is going to be tough? Just look at Athens today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, 20,000 people hit the streets in Athens today to protest steep budget cuts required as part of the Greek bailout. We'll find out why that may be concerning to economists here in the U.S. But first, where's Wall Street? Well, stocks have basically erased yesterday's gains. The Dow is down 113 points, almost a full percent at 11,962. The NASDAQ down about 0.75%, and the same with the S&P 500. We found out this morning that consumer prices rose again last month by 0.2%, but energy costs actually fell by a full percent in May. That's the first drop in a year. Now let's get to the protests going on in Greece. Richard DeKayser is an economist with the Parthenon Group, and he's with us live from Boston, as he is every Wednesday. And Richard, Parthenon, of course, has nothing to do with the Parthenon that's in Athens, I guess. But it seems there are always protests going on over budget cuts in Athens. What's different about today's?
Well, they're bigger, more people, and they're more violent. And I think what's happening now is that the stakes are going up. People in Greece have already made very large sacrifices. Pensions have been curtailed. Retirement ages have been postponed. Wages have been cut. And they need to do more in order to meet the so-called conditionality requirements of their creditors, namely the European Union and the IMF, as well as the European Central Bank. More cuts are on the way, and that's what people are taking to the streets about. They feel like they've had enough, but to get the funds flowing, they need to do more.
And connect that to what's going on in Washington with the debt ceiling negotiations, which are expected to lead to a deal that would involve big spending cuts. Is Greece a canary in the coal mine for us?
No, I think the analogy is very, very limited. Greece really has a fixed problem. They're running out of cash. They cannot go on unless they receive further credit from their creditors. The U.S. has ample reserves. Their foreign investors have indicated every desire to buy our debt. Our problem is really self-inflicted. That is to say that the Congress hasn't allowed us to, or may not allow us to, increase our indebtedness. So totally different situations, only remotely similar.
Richard DeKayser, economist at the Parthenon Group, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Take care.
Well, the big successful online bank ING Direct is expected to be sold off today by its European parent company, perhaps to Capital One or General Electric. Here now with the irony of the ING sale is our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
The Amsterdam-based banking and insurance giant is essentially under orders to get smaller. That was a condition for the bailout it got from the Dutch government. Under pressure from the European Commission, it's agreed to sell off assets representing 45% of its balance sheet, and that includes its online banking business here in the U.S.
What the European regulator was saying is sell off some of your non-core, non-European businesses to generate cash so we don't have to bail you out as much.
Bart Narter is a banking industry analyst at Celent. He says European regulators were able to push for the bank to downsize by selling overseas assets, but here in the U.S., there were no such conditions. In fact, too-big-to-fail banks were encouraged to merge.
The reason that banks got bigger in the U.S. is when there was a troubled institution, you needed an even larger, healthier institution to buy it out and bring up capital reserves.
Thus, the takeovers of such banks as Wachovia and Washington Mutual. Presuming an American company buys ING Direct, yet another U.S. financial institution will be getting bigger. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
Drug maker Pfizer is in federal court today to defend its blockbuster drug Viagra. That little blue pill is scheduled to go off patent next year, which means generic drug makers can produce similar pills and sell them at a discount. Pfizer wants the patent extended until 2019. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner reports.
One now legendary day in the early 1990s, Pfizer scientists discovered that their new drug for blood pressure was causing men to have spontaneous erections. Pfizer immediately applied for a new patent, renamed the drug Viagra, and the rest is history. The question in court today is whether that second patent is valid. It hinges on a legal concept called non-obviousness. Scott Hemphill is a law professor at Columbia University.
So the fight in non-obviousness often comes down to whether some new invention could have been seen by anybody.
Anybody, in this case, with experience in drug manufacturing.
Pfizer's reaction, as you would expect, is, well, if this is so easy to figure out, why didn't anybody do it until we did?
In fact, drug companies often try to find new uses for old drugs to extend their patent protection. It's called evergreening. John Iwanicki is a patent lawyer at Banner & Witkoff.
Evergreening means that you keep your patent portfolio evergreen by filing applications after the initial application on the compound to applications directed to different uses for the compound, different methods of making the compound, different forms of the compound.
For instance, the new chewable Viagra that Pfizer is selling in Mexico. If Pfizer wins this court fight, it'll have another 7 years of billion-dollar sales. If generic manufacturer Teva wins, Viagra pills get cheaper for the consumer. But while the art of evergreening can keep pills priced high, it also fosters continued innovation, says Bob Goldberg at the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest. Not long ago, Pfizer extended its patent for Viagra to treat a potentially fatal heart disease called infantile pulmonary hypertension.
They found that Viagra, because it pumps blood supply to the body in low doses, was very, very effective. And I think they got an additional 6 months of patent life.
The patent court found that a drug for erectile dysfunction used to save newborns? Not obvious. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And finally, if you're going to rob a fast food joint, don't leave a trail of fast food to your hideout. In Shawnee, Oklahoma, police had no trouble locating 18-year-old Dakota Lasley after a robbery at a Sonic drive-in. They found Dakota in a house two blocks away, and all they had to do to catch up with him was follow a trail of foot-long hot dogs, hot dog buns, chicken breasts, and, of course, corn dogs. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
22 million people use illegal drugs in this country every year, and that kind of demand inevitably produces a profitable supply.
I think that Mexicans get a bad rap, and while a lot of the stuff is coming across the border, it's our demand that's pushing it here, you know?
I'm Kai Rizdal, rethinking the economics of the war on drugs. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.